Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Exchange. I am Rachel Densmore, and with me is Brant Adams of the American Council of the Blind of Ohio. And before we get started with our guest, we have just a few announcements. First of all, our Columbus chapter will meet not this Saturday, but next Saturday on the 13th of June. You can reach out to their president, Janae Miller, or to our ACBO office for all of the details at that. Our office phone number is 614-261-3561. Lori would be happy to give you more information on any of these announcements. We will be having a cookout at the Braille Trail, which is in Sunbury, Ohio, just north of Columbus. And that event is from noon to 3 p.m. on July the 11th. There is no cost for that event. It's just a time to get to experience the Braille Trail. Kudos to our Sports and Rec Committee, who spent a lot of many hard hours working on consulting on that. And kudos to Hogback Ridge for creating that accessible trail. There are guide ropes, there are Braille signage. It's about a half mile loop. And we will also be providing your typical cookout foods. I hear it's going to be great, so please consider attending if you'd like to attend that. We do ask that you RSVP by June the 15th so we can make sure that there's enough hot dogs and hamburgers and all the fixins for the correct number of people. You can get all the RSVP information on our website, or you can, again, you can call Lori and she'll be happy to connect you with Dustin. And that phone number again, 614-261-3561. And then a little bit earlier on June the 27th, we have our next quarterly board meeting. Those are open to the community to attend if you'd like to know what's going on in the business of ACB Ohio. That will be at 11 a.m. on Saturday the 27th. And if you'd like the Zoom information, you can sign up for our email list or you can reach out to the office. Our national convention, the virtual portion, begins on July 13th. And the in-person portion concludes on the 31st of July. And if you are interested in registering for that, you can go to acb.org and you can learn about that. The in-person portion is in St. Louis, Missouri this year. And we also have our Fall Fest event, which is the last weekend in September. And that registration is open now and closes August 15th. That is a weekend in Wooster, Ohio. And it includes things like fishing. I hear there might even be archery, a chance to explore Wooster's farmer's market, plenty of time for getting together. It's a weekend event. It's great fun. And then lastly, our convention is early this year. It's the weekend of October 9th through the 11th. And that will be in Indianapolis. So I would encourage you to connect with your local chapter and see how they're organizing transportation, because every chapter is a little different. Most of you listeners are in Columbus, so you can contact the Columbus chapter and express interest in that. That registration will be opening probably here in the next month or so. And it will close probably around the 1st of September. I don't have the exact dates. They haven't been announced yet, but that is the rough timeline. So again, cookout in July the 11th, national convention later that month. A little bit earlier is our board meeting. And then in September, we have our Fall Fest weekend. And then early October, we have our state convention. So lots of upcoming events. Again, just to throw it out there one more time, our office phone number 614-261-3561. You can check out or call and ask for any information on those upcoming events, or you can check them out on our website. I would be remiss if I forgot to mention that we are also participating in the Brenda Dillon Walk, and that is an ongoing event. We'll do it at Hogback Ridge, but that's one of our main fundraisers for the year, but it's also a great time to connect with other people and to get up and get moving and walk. It's really flexible, and we have more information about that on our website as well. So, quite a few announcements today, but now that we're done with those, I am excited to announce or to introduce our speaker for today, or our guest for today. Renee Arrington Johnson is one of our board members. She's also a fellow Cleveland chapter member, so I'm pleased to have her in my chapter. And she's also sits on our audio description project steering committee and one of our other committees. The media subcommittee. I knew it was one of them, but there's so many things that she does. And that is a project from AZB at the national level. And she's here to give us some updates on audio description and also to talk about how you can participate in shaping the future of audio description. So before we get started introducing Renee, if you would like to call in with any questions or comments, you can call 614-274-7992. That's 614-274-7992. So welcome, Renee. Thank you for being with us. I'll let you go ahead and get started, and then Brant and I will just jump in with the reminder of the phone number and some questions just to keep the hour moving. We do wrap up just a few minutes before 11, so when we get closer to that time, we'll bring us down to a close. But welcome, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me on your end as usual. I am excited to talk about one of my passions, which is audio description. I come to be really interested in audio description, not just by myself, but my husband is a movie fan. So we always went to movies, and as my sight got worse and I couldn't see well, audio description became very important to be able to continue to have that movie time with my husband as our dates. So when I got involved with the Audio Description Project back in about 2017, 18, somewhere around that time period, I applied to be part of the media subcommittee and ended up being on the steering committee as well, which oversees the media subcommittee and the arts and theater and arts, parks and recreation, a bunch of different subcommittees that there are for the Audio Description Project. It's actually a pretty big group, and we have a lot going on. And since you mentioned the conference, I would be remiss if I did not talk about what we are doing with the Audio Description Project and this upcoming national convention. We are mostly in the virtual part of the convention and some really great discussions. And that's one of the nice things about the virtual part of the convention is that you can bring together a lot of people that might not come to the conference to be part of a panel discussion. So we have a number of sessions that are starting on, I do believe, the 16th of July. The first one being, what is next generation television? And what should I do to be ready? And that one is being chaired by one of our chairs of the Audio Description Project, which is Carl Richardson. Myself and my husband are actually on the panel discussion because he's a broadcast engineer and I'm on the Audio Description Project. I'm really there as a small part because I'm representing the people that are users, but there are a lot of good people on there that know a lot about broadcast television and next generation television, which would be our next leap that we would go whenever the FCC says go. It is actually piloting in some areas right now, including Columbus, Ohio. And it will make a lot of things possible for audio description that we've heard from a lot of people is important, like why can't I adjust the volume of audio description on my television to be different than the volume level of everything else on my television. And just to make sure, I should back up a second, that everyone understands audio description is a channel of audio that you can get on your television, on broadcast television. You can also get it on streaming services that will give you the description of what's going on. Sometimes in broadcast, it's referred to as the SAT channel, secondary audio channel. Sometimes it gets Spanish on it as opposed to audio description. So it's that channel where you could actually hear those things. And if they are reading alerts, it's a channel you should go to be able to hear alerts that are going on, which is a very important thing. So going back, hopefully, you know, if anybody has questions anymore about audio description, you can ask me. But going on to what's going on with the convention, besides the one talking about what's next generation television, we also have a session coming up, which is a question that a lot of people ask when we have the audio description discussion list. You know, how come audio description does not travel, always travel, you know, with the program, which is a complaint that a lot of people have. It's like, I saw this in the movies. How come it's not here on this streaming service when it's, you know, when I saw it in the movies and had audio description, or I watched this television show on CBS and then it's on something else and it's not, doesn't have the audio description channel. So there's going to be a discussion about why that does happen. There's actually some really different licensing rules and other things that happen that make this an issue, but the people that are there on this panel discussion, they can really answer that question for people and let you really be able to ask questions about why does that happen. And maybe we can get enough voice in there to get some opportunity, get some change. That's one reason why we do these things, because we hear the issues from people in the discussion list. And then when we have a discussion like this, maybe people can, you know, we can get enough volume of voices to say, go forth to the streaming services and things like that and say, hey, we have a lot of people complaining about this. Another thing that is coming up is, what is the next one? Oh, a film preview called Braille It, which is co-sponsored with the Audio Description Project and the, another group, I can't remember. But anyhow, that one is one of the sessions that's coming up. And then there's another session on innovations in performing arts. So that one is one of the sessions where people would like to go to theater. That would be one that you might be interested in hearing what kind of innovations there are in performing arts. There are some theater groups in the country that are just doing really great things with audio description. And it's be good to hear what great going on. You might be able to bring it back to your local theater as an idea and get some context for them to talk to. Or maybe you suggest somebody from your local theater might want to attend the virtual sessions. And also, I know that in person, on they're not virtual, but in person, there's going to be one of our newer groups. The gaming group is supposed to have a gaming sessions going on. And I think they're going to have Microsoft there to talk about gaming accessibility, and they might actually have an Xbox there. I'm not sure. I'd have to check with the session. You can go on to the website and check the sessions and see. But I know there is going to be a session in person on gaming. So that's some of the things that we have going on with actually the upcoming national convention with audio description. You can see we have our fingers involved in a lot of different things. And before I move on to talking about the survey, are there any questions about the sessions that are coming up?
Just to remind you, this is the Morning Exchange. We are ACB Ohio, and we are here with Renee Arrington Johnson. If you have questions, we'd love to take them. 614-274-7992. And we are hearing about all things audio description. And if you are interested in learning more about any of the sessions that she just went over, if you go to acb.org, you can find our convention list. Registration is open. It opened for members last Thursday. It opens for non-members tomorrow. But you can peruse the sessions before you register. And registration will be open for a couple more weeks now. So if you have any questions on that, we'd be happy to take them now. Again, 614-274-7992. You can also peruse the website, but thank you for that overview.
Okay. Okay. So that, that's the actual programs that we have planned for this year's convention. Now, one other thing that will be going on around the same time and extended a little bit longer is a project that we've been working on in the media subcommittee that's been kind of like my baby, is a survey where we get a lot of questions about audio description and why we don't have it. And we've been working for a number of years with streaming services and broadcast networks to try to improve the experience of whether or not you have audio description. And also, we are very concerned about the quality of audio description. We've actually, one of our committee members has spent a lot of time working on a best practices, you know, for audio description quality, especially with the concerns coming out with whether or not there's AI for audio description, whether or not real voices are used or AI voices are used. So, you know, we've spent years and years and years of getting audio description, years of trying to make sure we have quality audio description. One of the things that I've had a concern about is how easy is it to get to the audio description? If you're anything like me, you have used many different streaming services, and there is no necessarily standard way that you access audio description or how things are presented to you, or you know how easy it is to find things. It's not necessarily always that easy. You can go to the Audio Description Project website, which is adp.acb.org, and you can at that website actually find everything that has been given to us information-wise from the networks, from the streaming services. We have most of them. What audio description is available on those streaming services? You know, what does Netflix have that's new this month, or what have they had that's been there for a while? What does Prime have? You know, what does Paramount Plus have? You know, what's on network television? You can go to the website and find out who has what. You know, that's good. And, oh, and I forgot to mention, that is another one of the sessions. One of the sessions, we have a new website for the Audio Description Project that's been worked on for years, and they are actually going to review the new website and how to navigate the website. We've had a lot of people, a lot of feedback. They've been doing a lot of work continuously improving it, the group that have been working on the website. So the website, if you have not been there in a while, it has been updated. So there's also a session on the website, an overview. But going back to audio description in general, you can go there, find all of the information, and you can get to say, okay, I want to watch this movie on Netflix. You go to your Netflix app. Now, Netflix, I know, does let you have profiles. And luckily, the profiles with Netflix generally will retain whatever you set up from the last time. So if I go to Netflix and I click on my profile, whenever I click on a movie or a series, if it has audio description, it's going to automatically play it, which is a good thing. But how do I navigate to that? How hard is it to get to what I want to watch? Is Netflix going to give me a section that says continue watching when I want to continue watching stuff? Or does it let me save my favorites? And how hard is it to navigate to them? And what happens when you click that button? Is it intuitive? So this survey that we're doing is about the accessibility and usability of streaming services. Because if you look at a lot of things we do, normally you go into a room, if you want to turn on the lights, you flip the switch up. Turn it off, you flip the switch down. That's the social norm for the United States. It's not exactly the same in Europe, but that's what it is here. If you want to turn on water, it's usually, you know, clockwise is closed, counterclockwise is generally open. You know, there are standards that are generally used. aren't always followed. You have to have them installed correctly. But there are standards that are generally used for how you do certain things. And what we have found, and a lot of people have found, is, oh, let's see, if I want to exit Netflix, how many times do I have to click? Do I have to land on the homepage to do it? Do I have to land on my profile to get out? Do I have to go down two times? Do I have to arrow down twice and then be able to select the button? Or do I just continually hit the back button to exit it? None of them are the same. So they do vary. And some of them are better at having you be able to find on the homepage, the landing page. You might get to a landing page and say, oh, I know that the second row down is my continue watching, and I can continue watching. Or I know that my search button is just one right mouse, one click over to the right, you know. And it also depends on what do you use? You know, do you use a cell phone to consume your media? Do you use a PC to consume your media? Do you use a smart television to consume your media? So when we put this survey together, the objective was to try to find out what is working well and what is not working well with the different streaming services. So besides collecting a little bit of demographic information, you know, like age and what country you're in and things like that, we go into what streaming service you use. Like, do you use HBO Max? If you use HBO Max, then there's a series of questions that are asked. So, you know, how easy is it to navigate on your homepage? How easy is it to, you know, search for material? How easy is it to exit the application? And with each streaming service that you use, we also ask the question, you know, what do you find with the streaming service that works really well? You know, and what do you find maybe that doesn't work so well? So we have some open comments also. The objective is, and we know, I know that taking surveys is not always the most exciting thing to do. But me, I guess I'm kind of a data geek because my background is in industrial engineering. And one of the things we always say is you cannot manage what you don't measure. So being able to say that there are, you know, 50 people that don't like the way that you exit Prime Video because you have to click 5 times to get out, that should be something that we would want to communicate to Prime Video and say, hey, we have a lot of survey people that say this is an issue. Or the fact that maybe with HBO Max, maybe it's hard to find the content that you're looking for. So we will want to communicate to that. And at the same time, when people tell us that there are certain things that are good and maybe they have somebody who really does a good job with being able to search for content, we can communicate that also to all of the providers of streaming services and providers of live television. My hope is that if we get this information from this survey, that we can impact how people are able to access you and consume and exit and search for their media that they prefer to watch. And if we can do that, we can get some standardization between HBO Max and Prime and Netflix and Disney. Hopefully, you can make it easier for people who are blind or low vision to be able to navigate and consume their media. In my mind, it's a win-win for the consumer and the people who provide content. And in my mind, if it's easier for me to consume, I'll be less frustrated if I can get to this. And if I find a certain service provider of streaming content that is really a hassle to use, I'm not generally going to consume their content. I'm going to go somewhere that's a little bit easier. There's so much out there. It's not like you have to go to a certain streaming service provider. There's so much to watch. There's more than a person can consume in a day or a week or a month. So I'm with this data, I feel like we can have a positive impact on the experience that people have while consuming content with audio description in it. So that is our true objective there.
All right. So I'm going to cut in, remind us that this is the Morning Exchange with ACB Ohio. I'm Rachel Dunsmore. With me is Brant Adams. And our guest today is Renee Arrington Johnson. She's talking about all things audio description. And the phone number, if you have questions, is 614-274-7992. And I will turn it back over to Renee, unless Brant, you have any questions. Take that as a no. So Renee,
I do not have any questions. No.
Okay. And there is something that I should mention also. It's like maybe I should have led with this. When does the survey open? So we have finished doing some dry runs of the survey with some of the media committee, and worked with actually a professor who does surveys at Sussex University or something in Massachusetts, where we were lucky enough to be able to have her help us put the survey together. Our plan is to launch the survey when the virtual portion of the convention launches, which is July 13th. So we will launch the survey at that point, and we plan to continue it beyond the end of the convention, which is the 31st of July. We plan to continue it beyond that because it's not a short survey. If you have four streaming services that you watch, and then there's like 9 questions for each one. So that's almost 40 questions right there, plus the demographic information, you know. So it's not going to be a short survey, and we really would like people to be able to take the time to complete the survey. You can take part of the survey and come back to it later on and finish it. So you don't have to complete it all in one sitting. So that gives you the chance to actually, you know, be able to think about it, or it's like, I got 10 minutes, I can work on it for 10 minutes. I can come back to it later on and finish the survey. We're going to do everything we can to get a lot of people to take the survey. You know, ACB people, of course, I'm hoping that we can, I love being here on Voice Corps, and I'm hoping that I can get information out to other states, and I will actually be at the convention. So definitely I will, when the survey goes out, there will be contact information for myself that will go out, that you can contact me if you run into any issues about the survey. And we would definitely be made available for any questions, because it is really important to be able to get as many people to make the data useful. Since we have so many streaming services that are available, would really, really, really like to push the numbers up as high as possible. So besides ACB folks, definitely we'll post the survey on social media. And then we have a lot of contacts with people who actually do audio description, because the survey is for people to benefit people mostly who are blind or low vision who use audio description. But also we do have a lot of people that are providers of audio description, companies that provide, they have people that are blind that do audio description, but they also have people who are not in the BLV group that do audio description. So we do ask that question at the beginning of the survey, if you identify as blind or low vision or not. But so our objective is to get as many people as possible to take the survey so that the data will actually be relevant. Because if we only get, you know, one person that replies about HBO Max, you know, that's not going to give us enough information to really give a lot of feedback. And when we do give feedback, we definitely will include in there how many people, you know, responded, you know, to those questions in order to give you some context to whatever information is provided. But also, I think one of the most useful things out of the survey will be some of the editable fields where people can give comments about what they really, really like about streaming service, or what really bothers them about streaming service, you know, because those types of things a lot of times are when you really get some, you know, aha moments about what you might not have thought about before. You know, it's like, oh, I never really thought about that before, but that is a good point. So we're definitely looking forward to that in being able to see the feedback we get, because have either of you ever listened to or read some of the ADP discussion lists comments that go through about audio description. There's a lot of comments about audio description on that discussion list, and they really, you know, come up with some very good points about, you know, why the service does this and the other one does not, or the one of the sessions we're having, how come the audio description does not travel with it? That's a constant one that comes up all the time. So have either of you listened?
I'm not on the email list, but I do have a couple questions.
Okay.
I can only tolerate a very limited amount of email lists, or you will never ever hear back from me from when you send me an individual email.
Get that.
You've talked a lot about streaming services. Is the survey only focused on streaming services, or is it also for folks who maybe only use audio description on their live broadcast television, like on CBS or on NBC or ABC or one of those?
No, it's focused on streaming services.
Okay.
And one of the reasons, live television does still have its own issues, but you know, there's a difference in what is truly underneath the purview of the FCC, whereas broadcast is definitely, you know, under the purview of FCC, as is cable television, whereas streaming services, not really. I mean, a lot of what the streaming services do is because there has been a lot of discussion between them and advocacy groups, you know, on audio description, and also on I think there was a case some years back where some people were complaining, and it wasn't really fall under the FCC, but they don't really fall under the same rules as FCC, because FCC has definite rules with broadcast television as to how much content of audio description you have to air within a quarter, you know, and whether or not it can be repeat, you know, content, like, you know, whether or not it can be reruns or original broadcasts. So, and they won't get...
Not yet. Not until we get the updated Video and Communications Act passed, which is one of ACP's initiatives. So I'm going to...
Yes, it definitely is, and we would definitely love that, because right now they're at the top. I forgot how many they go to the top broadcast stations, which the top networks, and those fall into the rules of FCC. You know, which ones are ranked one through whatever. I forgot what number they're up to, and those ones have to have some audio description content, but a lot of them are given waivers because they only air rebroadcast content. They don't have original content to air. So some of them get waivers for that. But yes, I would love to see the new, the Communications Video Accessibility Act.
Yeah.
CVTA. Now there's the update to technology.
Yeah,
in there, which would really help to cover all of this, which would make things that much better. But this is why you have to stay involved with some of the things that are going on. To like all the FCC rules, we spend a lot of time. They have these notices of public rulemaking, NPRs, I think they're called, and they might say, "Well, we're talking this something about whether or not the broadcast networks have to, you know, do something that's part of the FCC rules that they haven't quite met yet." And one of the things we do, which is not exactly the most exciting thing in the world, and it's a lot of work, is to sit down and look at these notices of public rulemaking and say, you know, what kind of comment is ACB going to make on this? And a lot of times there's joint comments made with ACB on that, but a lot of time is spent working on these, because I'm not the best at government speak. You know, some people are better at it than I am, but I can, if somebody explains it to me, I can say what I think about it. But I've been on a couple of committees that have looked at these things, especially that lead towards safety, that the Audit Description Project has been involved with. But we've not been involved in a vacuum. We've been involved in it with some companies that do audio description, and always these things have to go through the legal department. So whatever, there's a due date for a notice of public rulemaking, you have to be finished like 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, because you have to let it go through legal and everything else and be reviewed by what other groups are doing it with you. Sometimes we're doing something along with the deaf community, along with American Federation of the Blind, along with some other people. So, you know, it's a lot to know what's going on. Those notices of public rulemaking are important, because they are when some of these organizations get a pass. Oh, we'll give you another 18 months. That happens a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have questions for Renee, we are the Morning Exchange. We are ACB Ohio here on VoiceCorp. Renee Arrington-Johnson is our guest. She's talking about all things audio description. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 614-274-7992. And one final question. You mentioned that your contact information will be up there. I know there are some folks that they're very comfortable with the one technology that they have learned. So maybe they have learned Netflix and they know how to do Netflix on their phone, or they know how to do Netflix on their smart TV. But the survey might be beyond their technical prowess or their technical frustration tolerance. Is there an option to call somebody and get help filling out the survey? And if so, will that information go out when the survey goes live, or how do folks access that? And yeah, if you don't have it now, well, it sounds like you do, so go ahead.
Well, I don't have a specific number. Probably the questions will probably go to me in one format or another. That's definitely for sure. I would feel comfortable right now. What is my ACB Ohio email address? I cannot even
Renee
remember.
Renee@acbohio.org.
Yes, that one for sure will be one of the options. Renee@acbohio.org will definitely be an option that you can contact me. I will probably end up putting my phone number in there too, because some people, just the only thing they really much do pretty much is text. Definitely if people have questions, there will be someone, myself for sure, available to take questions. If they have questions with the survey, that'll definitely be, I'll probably be the person to contact. And also, one thing while I'm at the conference, I don't know how they'll be able to communicate things. Maybe they'll be able to make some announcements at general sessions if somebody's there that's doing the survey. That one of my things while I'm there is I will make time, you know, if somebody wants help, you know, while I'm there to help them with the survey for sure.
Wonderful. And if you need to call somebody to get that information later, our office is always accepting phone calls. If you don't get a hold of Lori, Lori is our executive director. She manages the phone among 500 other things. She will get back to you, or she'll pass your message on to Renee. So you can always call our office at 614-261-3561. It's one of the few phone numbers I have memorized these days, but it is there. We have an ongoing joke that I owe the executive director an M&M for every time I say the phone number on VoiceCorp. So I hope she's listening and counting, because I am not. But that is one way that you can always get information on this information or anything else that we share on VoiceCorp from month to month. We're happy to take follow-up calls. We're happy to take inquiries. If there's something that you hear or you heard a couple months ago and you'd like information, Lori will either take that question or pass it on to one of us, and somebody will get back to you. Whoever is the appropriate committee chair or person for that individual question. There will also be, I just saw the draft of the newsletter this morning, there will also be an article about this in our summer edition of the Ohio Connection. So if you benefit from having that information in writing, we will send out the newsletter probably next week, if not the week after. Pretty year coming up soon. So if you are not receiving our newsletters, we'd love to have you sign up. You can do that online at our website, acbohio.org, or you can call the office. We publish the newsletter primarily in email, but there is also a large print format if that if you can't access the email once. So, Brant, I will turn it over to you. Is there anything you want to ask Renee about the survey or about audio description or about the convention or?
I'm going to have to join the session about why they don't travel because I want to know because
it is a big complaint. I complain too. It doesn't make any sense to me. It does not make, it's like, why? I don't care if it was done at post-production. I don't care if there's some licensing. Why is it not there?
It should be the same licensing as the regular audio.
Yeah.
Yeah. And music.
I remember there was a show I used to want to watch and it needed audio description. And this was back in the day. It was still when CBS had its own, before Paramount Plus. It was when, I think it was CBS Plus is what it was called. And the show was on there and it did not have audio description, but it was on Netflix in Europe and that did have audio description.
Oh yes.
It was
my least favorite is when it had audio description and then they like change something over or they like subcontract some of the major streaming services now subcontract. I'm not going to throw any in particular in organization company under the bus because I don't know if I'm allowed to, they subcontract, so you have your account and then they get the content from somewhere else and they used to host it directly, and when they moved to getting it from somewhere else the audio description disappeared. I had a documentary about guide dogs of all things.
Oh my gosh.
And it was
a good documentary. I
showed it to, I used to teach and I showed it to my students on the streaming service for years. I went to watch it actually with Brant, and we had to do backflips to find it audio described because the main way wasn't. Also, I do have a question for you. Will the survey address why it's not always called the same thing? Because some streaming services, it's audio description. Some streaming services, it's descriptive narration. Some it's audio narration.
In the U.S., the agreed upon standard term is audio description, and the agreed upon symbol is an AD with the little, they're probably just like right hand parentheses, but they're the like sound waves after it. We've had this discussion because there were too many people calling it too many different things, and we did want to standardize it. And that was agreed upon by, I forget by which groups of organizations, but you still get it trickle in with other terms, and that's just in the U.S., not necessarily in other countries. So you might have people call it different things in other countries. But in the U.S., it's mostly settled in with audio description, but every once in a while, well, descriptive video. Okay, it's audio description, but we'll live with it, you know. But we've worked on that. Really, we have worked on that. And I think it was actually the FCC that agreed that that would be the term, audio description. We got them when they still had their DAC, their disability advocacy group or whatever that was, the committee. They had. So we have definitely tried to get that term standardized because it can be very confusing, especially
if you're watching
the
BBC.
Yeah,
then it might be different. But if you're watching something that's American based, it So if it doesn't say audio description, which I'm sure there's at least one that doesn't, because why would everybody follow the rules?
Yeah, and they didn't go back and change things that were some other way before. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a thing you can include on the survey, is if it's not labeled as expected.
Yeah, if you've run into that issue, there's definitely those open fields if it's not in there. But one thing, Brant, I want to tell you about, you know, purchasing things, you should be careful, because you have to be really careful that the whatever one you purchase actually says that it has audio description. If it doesn't clearly state it, because I've purchased things a couple of times and I had to go back and ask for my money back. So I'm like, where's the audio description? You know, and then even going to movie theaters, if it's not a major production, we were going to the theater in the last 3 months or so to go see something, you know, you get there and you just, and you ask, does it have auto description? And sometimes they think that they're telling you the correct thing, because there's a lot of turnover in movie theaters. And maybe they think I was asking for a closed caption. So for some reason, people get that confused. I don't understand.
Yeah, they do.
But, or the amplified audio.
Yes. And you get there and you're sitting down, and you got your popcorn and no audio description.
You got your popcorn and then you lose your hearing because it blasts your eardrums out.
and that's one of the things, that we're working on also. I mean, we have so many irons in the fire, it's crazy. But one of the things we've been working on, we started this before COVID, but when COVID hit and so many theaters were on the brink of going out of business, we just couldn't see forcing our hand on, you've got to have audio description and trailers so people can make sure that it's working. And that's one of our things. We want people to know that their equipment is working and that they were given the right thing before the movie starts. Because a lot of times you wait until the movie starts or just before the movie, there might be a little trailer about, you know, turn your phone off and you might hear something. But most of the time you don't know until the movie starts. So then once the movie starts, then my husband gets up and walks down the stairs and around everywhere to get back to the manager. And then we stand there while they give us our money back. And yes, I make them give me my money back for my popcorn too, because I wouldn't spend that much money for popcorn at home. You know, we spend it for the movie experience. So, you know, that's one of the other things we're working on, you know, how can we get, you know, a movie theaters to make sure that's, you know, something that you know before the movie starts, at least. You know, we've also we're working with another movie theater. There's a movie theater in Connecticut called Prospector Theater. And their thing is, every movie, I do believe, is showed with audio description and closed captions. And every employee there has a disability. And they have a really good process for keeping things working. They also sell, as a fundraiser, this gourmet popcorn that is absolutely delicious. And I know I've ordered it a few times. the person that runs that theater, we've been trying to work with her a little bit on setting up process for the movie theaters to help them to be able to keep their stuff running the way she keeps her stuff running. You know, use some best practices from her since she does it all the time. So
does the audio descriptive project, it does that still lists like Blu-ray and DVD?
Yes, they do. Libraries still carry them. You know, one of the co-chairs is Kim Charleston, also is, you know, runs a lot of stuff at one of the libraries. So she's says libraries still carry them. So yes, we definitely still carry the Blu-ray DVD. So because a lot of people still use them.
That was always fun because you would get a DVD with the audio description, but you can't access the audio description.
What your player
did? The menus weren't accessible.
You have to go into the menu.
I have not used a Blu-ray or DVD player in so long that I never even thought about the fact that the menus have to have their screen readers, otherwise they're not going to.
That's been a problem but that's why this survey is I think important, because we can kind of keep that from happening on streaming services. I mean, it's not happening, but it, you know,
it's
something to think about.
There's still things that happen sometimes, you know, and a lot of times what's nice is that people have pointed out things on the discussion list to our current webmaster, who I'm not sure, Fred, he's been doing the stuff and he's transitioning, training mm-hmm. our new coordinator for auto description project is learning all of what he does. And he has communication with a lot of the streaming services, and somebody said, well, this said it was this and it's not that. And he's like, okay, I've communicated to the appropriate streaming service, you know, that's yeah. an issue. So sometimes we have, you know, some relationships that are there that are established that things can get addressed, or at least you can find out why there's an issue without just saying, well, why didn't it work this time when it worked before? But there has been years and years and years of getting that website with all that information. I mean, it is a massive undertaking to, number one, get the information from all the streaming services and the networks and stuff. Number two, get it in a timely manner. Number three, get it in a format, you know, that you can do something with and be able to, and still end up like mapping a lot of things. But it's really is a big, huge job. I mean, it's like that site is a huge database of information about everything you want to know about audio description.
If you are not very familiar with audio description, or you've never really tried it out, or you've never been to the website, I would encourage you to just poke around for a few minutes. There are samples of audio description. There is information. You could spend many, many hours on the audio description website, but even just a few minutes will give you a taste of what is there. And it is adp.acb.acb.acb.org/OscarRomeoGolf.
Very good and very impressive, Rachel.
Well, ADP probably doesn't come across the airwaves particularly well. So yes, yeah. I may or may not have spent several minutes thinking about that before I tried to do it.
I actually just looked at the website a little while ago and I almost forgot that I was doing a show. so It looks great.
They've really done a lot of work. Really great site. Oh, and don't forget, after the conference is over with, we have our gala in November.
Oh yeah.
And don't forget that it should be opening times very soon for you to nominate a People's Choice Award for the best audio described movie and the best audio described series. We do this with, I forget how many years, it's like the fourth or fifth year now, I think. And so they have a lot of arguments about that, who gets the best. I mean, it's People's Choice. So People's Choice is People's Choice. So if you really liked, and I put my plug in there, and they're actually going to be showing this at the conference, one battle after another, the audio description on that movie for me was amazing. I mean, besides the fact the movie was funny and everything else too, but I mean, the way they described a scene at the end, and I'm not going to give it away, but the cars were chasing each other on rolling hills, and you just have to listen to that scene and how they described it. It was just so vivid. I just absolutely loved it. I'm voting for them again.
your husband would appreciate me throwing this one out here. The one of the best that I think I've ever heard, and I am not a Star Wars fan, but the original six movies, the first three and then the sequel trilogy, have some of the best audio description that I think I have ever heard. So I guess my closing question, and we have just a few minutes, is what would you say to someone who's like, you know, I don't know if I should take this survey. I don't really use audio description that often, or I only use this one streaming service and it's probably the same one that everybody else uses. Or I don't know if it's my tech skills or it's not accessible. But somebody who's maybe hesitant that their input is going to contribute much?
I would say that for me, it's like every time you use your voice to express what is important to you, it's important. It is needed. And you will be surprised to find that you are never alone in your opinion. Even though there'll be others might have some other opinions, your opinion is just as important as everybody else's. Because if we do the same thing, if we don't change, if we don't evolve, then we lose the opportunities to get better. We miss the chance. I mean, there's certain things. I love to cook. But even with baking is more of a science than just cooking. I am a cook. I can take things out of the refrigerator and stuff, and I can make a meal. And somebody says, oh, you should write that down. I was like, I don't always do it the same way because I'm always trying something different. And I find something that, you know, makes it better that I never would have thought of before, you know? So I would tell people that your voice is just as important as a different spice in a recipe. It's going to bring something to the table that was never there before.
Oh,
that's wonderful. That was eloquent. All right, Brent, do you want to close this out or would you like me to?
Sure, I'll do it. If you have want to contact the office for ACB Ohio, the phone number is 614-261-3561. I can do it too. for memory. The email address is acbo.director@gmail.com. And
we will
I blanked out.
We will see you on the 1st.
What is it? July 1st. Yes.
And we look forward to seeing you then. Vicki Prahan will be our guest on the history of ACB Ohio. So see you next month.